Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Beginning in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you and me. That the blessing might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. We're going to jump right into this because I'd like to try to keep it under 30. If I could this morning. That's what Ruthie always tells me. And so we're going to get right into this. We're going to begin in verse 10. We've been looking at the book of Galatians. We've been looking at what it's talking about. It's all about the law. It's all about justification by faith. What was going on with the church of Galatia? That was predominantly Gentiles, babes in Christ, Gentiles. They were being manipulated. They were being preached to by Judaizers that were teaching them false doctrine. This is what was happening, and this is the basis for the book, okay? And so the Apostle Paul comes, and he is going to come and correct their doctrine. He's going to correct their theology, and he is going to show them that we are not justified by the workings of the law, but rather by faith. Now, I want us to see something here. The Judaizers, they were close. They were close. They were real close. They taught faith in Christ, but they also taught the workings of the law mingled with it. So the Apostle Paul comes to straighten them out and rebukes them. He does, and he does it very stiffly. It's either one or the other. This is what Paul's telling them. It's one or the other. And he was adamant. He was emphatic about the gospel in the book of Galatians. They came and perverted the gospel message. They came and added things to the gospel that did not need to be there. Paul, as a defender of the truth, comes to set the record straight. And in fact, he does. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Paul tells us in the next few verses, first, there's two thoughts that I want you to write down if you have a pen this morning. Two thoughts that I'm going to bear in mind and I want you to bear in mind as well. First, the problem with keeping the law. Paul's going to talk about the problem with keeping the law. This is the main point, one of the main points of the text. And the second main point is the blessing of living by faith. So he's going to bring the law first, and then he's going to bring faith, and he's going to show the difference. Okay? So first, we're going to take up the problem with keeping the law. And this is Paul's problem to the Judaizers and to the Gentile believers in Galatia. This is the reason for the book of Galatians. They were adding to it. Paul comes to make it clear and to make the distinction that you either live by faith or you live by the law. There's no in between. So first, let's consider the problem that we have in our text. And this is the problem with a lot of those in today's age. Those that insist on keeping the works of the law for salvation. The problem with that is that if you insist on keeping the works of the law for salvation, to be justified to where you can stand before the Lord righteous, if you do that, then you are a slave to do that the rest of your life. Listen to the passage. For as many are as under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you become slaves to fulfill all the moral law fully. You can't miss one of them. You can't miss one. You become a slave to it. This means that they are slaves to the law to never break it. And if broken once, then guilty of all. These are things that we know. These are things that are apparent to us. And this church has good doctrine when it comes to this topic. But Paul finds it very fitting to go over here. And so do I. Because if we're not careful, we can begin to mix works with our faith. We can begin to bring these works in that we think might be justifying us, or you might not even be saved, and you think that all of these things may be justifying you before God, when in fact they don't, because you are a curse to all of them, and the Scripture says that you can't even keep them. And so it is apparent, it is emphatic, that we declare that salvation is by grace through faith. If you look at Exodus in chapter 20, we've read that already, 1 through 21, you will see, and it's a very dreadful, dreadful sight. It's scary. The Lord comes down on top of the mountain. Y'all remember the story when the law was given? What happened? Moses was called up there. There was smoke. There was thunder. There was lightning. And I'm going to tell y'all, the last couple of weeks, we've had some lightning and thunder, ain't we? There was one the other morning so loud that it woke me out of a dead sleep. I didn't know what had happened. I came in there, and then all of a sudden, all I know is the kids, it was like the sound of music. They was all jumping on the bed trying to get under the covers because everybody was scared to death. And you never heard it. Well, I did. It like to scared me to death. So now let me add this to you. When the law was given, smoke descended down on the top of the mountain. And when it did, it was accompanied with thunder. Not like we heard the other morning. This was the thunder of God.
Yes.
It descended on top of the mountain with smoke and lightning, thunders, and even the sound of a trump is what it says. You think that was scary? You ought to hear what comes next. And if that wasn't enough, then comes the law. It's one thing to have all the noise and the sight of the presence, but then it's quite another for that righteous God to lay out something that He knows we can't keep. That's a dreadful sight. Ten commands were given to govern the land and to govern the heart of man. It was to show men their heart sin so that they could repent and return to the Lord. It was to show men that they were wicked. This wasn't new. I told you earlier that they've been receiving laws from the beginning. Adam and Eve had a command in the garden. Don't eat of the tree. They broke it. Did they break it or did they not?
They broke
Did the children of Israel break the Ten Commandments or did they not? Have you broken one of the Ten Commandments or have you not? All right. So we're all guilty and under the curse. Is that right or is that wrong? Except for Jesus. This was to show them their heart. This was to show them their sin. If we take a quick glance just at the book of Exodus in chapter 20. The very first one. Just one. If we just look at the very first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This first one accuses and it proves all men to be inherently guilty. All men to be inherently guilty. Either by way of omission, things we don't do, or by actual gods we set up before the Lord. As you look at the first one, think about the times when we haven't worshiped the Lord as the only true God when we should have. Well, I've done that. Think about the times when we have set up other things before the Lord. Well, I know I've done that. So I don't need another law. All I need is one, and I can't even keep it. As I see this first commandment, you know what a plow does? It's farming season. Jerry, you know what a plow is, don't you? You like to get on them rows and turn that dirt over, don't you? All right. As I look at this first commandment, I see a middle buster. That's all I see. And we don't need the rest of them. I just see one middle buster. And I see a middle buster that when power is put to it, when there is a force that is pulling it, it goes down deep. And when it goes down deep, it begins to cut. And when it begins to cut, it begins to turn. And when it begins to turn, it begins to roll things out of the ground, doesn't it? And this is what I see when I look at the law of God. All we need is one. It's a mental buster for the heart, man. That's all it is. It's the Word of God. And when we see that first one come rolling down through there, we see it. And it is digging deep. And it's digging in that heart. And what it's doing is it's turning those clods over. And it's breaking it up. And it's busting it up. It's that ground that's not been worked. And it's tearing it to pieces. It's ripping it to shreds. It's turning over shame. Yeah. It's turning over idolatry. It's turning over all of these different things. And it's laying the heart bare. And this is what the law does. It shows us that we are guilty. We need no other commandments than the first one to show us one plow coming across our heart to show us that we are inherently guilty and damned to hell without Jesus Christ. Period. That's what the law does. We just need one. The first commandment rips through the heart, turning over all sorts of sins. Just as that plow comes, Jerry, and you set that disc down or that plow and it rips and it turns that soil over. It gets it all moving and all going and exposes the roots of the weeds and then they die. The law comes through and it rips through our hearts. Paul is expressing some very serious truth to these Judaizers. Let's move on. Not only is it hurtful when this plow comes over, but it's crippling. And it's deadly, showing us that we are all guilty. Even now, if you think about the law when it was given, I believe that you can see the thunderings and the lightnings. And the trump, you can hear it. You can see this and how the people trembled underneath that black cloud that was on top of that mountain. When we hear the preaching of the law, it's no different. When we hear the preaching of the law, it's as if we're under that black cloud and that's all we can see. There's no hope. It's lightnings and black clouds and trumpets and terrible sights. But we know that we do have hope in Christ Jesus. But wait a second. I want you to see something before we move on. That was one plow. But what if there was nine chasing behind it? Nine other plows, nine other middle busters chasing behind it. How much hope do you think you have now of keeping the law? None. You can't keep one. What makes you think you can keep nine more? We can all confess this morning, from the youngsters to the elders, that we are all guilty of breaking the law of God. If you say you haven't, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. And if for some reason we believe that you've dodged the first plow, what makes you think you could dodge the next nine? There's more following behind it, and all they're going to do is continue to rip up and continue to turn over and continue to show more imperfections in the heart. And that's what the law of God does. It shreds us. It shreds us, and I'm going to tell you what it does. It shreds us in such a way that it shows us that we are nothing outside of the grace of God. It breaks man down, just like those plows break down the dirt. So my first point, those that believe that they can achieve salvation through keeping the law are slaves to keeping all the law perfectly for their entire life. Perfectly for their entire life. Never breaking one. And it's just not possible. Amen. It's not. It's not possible at all. It can't be done. The moral law cannot be achieved. Amen. And if you believe that it can, then you, my friend, are under a curse this morning.
Yes.
Just as the children of Israel stood, Selah, be quiet. Just as the children of Israel stood and shook under the black cloud that descended on the Mount of God, your pews are the only thing holding you up from the curse of God this morning. That's it.
Amen.
The curse of the law.
Yes.
It's a dreadful thing. It's something that should not, I mean, it's a horror to think about. So those that believe that they can keep them all, you better get to work.
Yes.
You better get to work keeping every last one of them. Because if you miss one, you're doomed for hell. And we know that we can't. We know that it's not possible. It's not possible. Paul is showing them in Galatia. He is showing them in Galatia this. He is showing them the absurdity and the stupidity of justification by works. This is what he's showing. He's saying, guys, you can't do it. You can't do it. Verse 10, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you dare take up this morning the works of the law for salvation, you will find as much as you strive to fulfill it, that it is not possible. It is a yoke and it is a burden that will break you and that will bury you in the ground.
Amen.
That's the curse. And the scripture says that we're not cursed in the future, but you are now. He that believeth not the Son is condemned already. Let's move on to verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. So he continues this emphatic argument about justification through works is futile. He keeps going. He says, man, this is not just from the law, but this has been made evident. This is clear. It has been made clear to us from the beginning. We have 66 books, and we can go all the way back to the beginning, as I said earlier, and I see, and you see, where Adam and Eve broke the one command that they were told not to break, and they broke it. Then the law comes in the book of Exodus through Moses. And then you see, those are broken as well. It's made perfectly clear that man could not and will not keep the law. It can't be done. All the way through the Old Testament, the scripture here tells us in Galatians that it is evidence. It is evidence. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evidence. You cannot be saved by workings of the law. We know that if you can't be saved by the workings of the law, then how does that come to be? Well, the scripture is going to tell us that the other means of justification comes only through faith in the perfect shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. This was shown to Adam and Eve, and this is why it's been so evident for all these years. Because the gospel was preached to Abraham before the law was given. It was also preached to Adam and Eve. It was preached to Adam and Eve in the garden when the Lord came down and slaughtered that lamb or that full-grown sheep or whatever it was. It's made completely evident that salvation comes through faith in the shed blood of the sacrifice. Can't add anything to it, can't take anything away from it. 11. For it says, for the just shall live by faith. Those that are justified, that are just not because of works, but because of faith in the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. This is why that they are made just. This is why they are made justified, because they have placed their faith in the only begotten Son of God. This was evident to the church of Galatia when Paul first preached the message. It was evident to the people in the book of Exodus. It was evident to Adam and Eve. This has not changed any. It's always been, and we have to understand that. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, he'll continue on that. Second, my second point that I want to bring out to you this morning. Now let's look at the blessings of being justified by faith. The blessings of being justified by faith. Verse 13. Listen to what it says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We should all be amening on that. He has redeemed us from that dreadful sight that we see in the book of Exodus. He has taken that away from us. He has redeemed us and bought us back out of that. Listen to what it says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. First, the blessed truth that is here mentioned is that of one of substitution. One of substitution. We've already established, and we've established it over and over, that you can't keep it. You can't keep the workings of the law. You cannot fulfill them. We've established that. So something had to transpire. Something had to happen. Something had to die. That is evident from the beginning. Something had to take our place. Substitution had to happen. Substitution had to happen. And we know that that was Jesus. And in His perfection, He redeemed us from the curse of the law, sin, and death. By taking it on Himself. See, this is the sticky part that a lot of people don't like to talk about. Well, something had to happen to remove that. So Jesus comes to take all of that onto Himself so that we can come out from underneath that curse. Well, we know what it cost Him. It was a dreadful sight, more dreadful than what happened at the mountain of God when the law was given. God's Son was crushed and He was bruised and He was poured out so that we could have their curse removed from us. It had to happen. It was a terribly ugly sight, but beautiful when we behold it by faith. Substitution, trading places with us. Remember, I said that you can't keep the law. It's not possible. But Jesus did, and He kept it. Not only did He keep it, but He kept it to the entire letter.
Yes, amen.
Every word, every jot, every mark, our Savior kept to the entire letter. This is why we are able to come out from underneath the curse of the law. Because there was one that was perfect that did it for us. So the blessings, the second point I was making, so the blessings that flow from this blessed truth of substitution is what is shown to us in verse 14. It is the indwelling Spirit of God brought upon by faith in the Son of God. The indwelling Spirit of God that's brought upon us by faith in the Son of God. Look what verse 14 says. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. What was the blessings of Abraham? The blessings of Abraham was that Jesus Christ, there would be one that would come and redeem the people. To come out of His lineage. That was the blessings of Abraham. And so here it says, listen to the verse, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, on us, through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the indwelling Spirit of God, that we may receive it through faith. Paul speaks here to the Judaizers and to these new Gentile believers, and he tells them, through the promise given to Abraham that Christ would come, the Gentiles can receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Not through the workings of the law, but rather through faith. This is what Paul is telling them. It is evident. He is telling them that it is evident. It is not of works, but by faith that you will receive the Spirit. This is the blessing that it's talking about here in verse 14. And I praise God this morning that Jesus traded places with me. Because it is apparent and it is evident that I could not keep the law. Well, in my heart and in my mind, I've probably broken them all this morning. Am I right or wrong? So we know that we need a Savior. And I praise Him for trading places with me. So that He may give me that blessing. Of being with me. He said, it's expedient that I leave. That I may send the Comforter. The Spirit. To stay with you, the Paraclete, to stay with you, to lead you, to guide you, to teach you, to stay with you. The Spirit of God. And we know we only receive that by faith. Paul clearly settles the matter. He settles it here. Of how we are justified. And my question to you, because I don't know your heart. My question to you. Will you continue in the works of the law? Or you receive Him and trust in Him by faith this morning. Trusting in Jesus Christ, just as Adam and Eve did. Trusting in the Lord for salvation by faith is the only means and the only way that we can stand before a righteous God. That's it. And so we have to see that this morning. Paul comes, and here in our text, Paul makes it completely evident that salvation is not of works, but by faith in the promise that was to come through Abraham, namely Jesus Christ. And so I pray this morning that you're able to examine your heart to see if you're in the faith. Examine your heart to see if you are standing before God in your own works and trying to please and keep the law, or have you truly been justified by faith in the Son of God?